Listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Christ's birth, like this tree, is a reminder that God is always with us. We may neglect him, we may reject him, but he never forsakes us.
The New York-based and Washington-based, too, probably media powerhouses, don't quite get religion. We don't get the role of religion in people's lives.
The colors of the rainbow went from blue on one edge of the rainbow to red on the other. And they saw in that a reminder that just as God once destroyed the world with water, he will again destroy the world, this time by fire.
Uber drivers around the world love listening to Issues Etc. on demand while we're waiting for a ride request.
Some have called this bill an attempt to legalize anti-gay discrimination. Its name, the First Amendment Defense Act, sounds like a good thing. However, it's described in the press, and you have to excuse the headline here. It does come from BuzzFeed. Republicans will refile religious freedom bill protecting anti-gay beliefs. Of course, what it's intended to protect is beliefs, all beliefs that everyone holds for religious reasons. That's why it's called the First Amendment Defense Act. And it's broader than merely religious beliefs. It's intended to cover speech of all different kinds. Now, it has failed before and yet might have a new lease on life. We're going to be talking about that here with Joe Grabowski of the National Organization for Marriage. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 13th of December. A little bit later, Pastor Tom Baker is going to join us, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson today, Jesus teaching Nicodemus. He's a teacher of Israel, but Jesus needs to teach him the basic stuff in John chapter 3. Feel free to join us with questions or comments over the next hour, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. A tweet at IssuesETC on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joe Grabowski is Director of Communications for the National Organization for Marriage based in Washington, D.C. He joins us to talk about the First Amendment Defense Act. Joe, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
Make the case that a First Amendment Defense Act is necessary today.
Well, I would say that, you know, we've seen examples come up since the redefinition of marriage by the Supreme Court in the Obergefell decision of Christians, whether it be, and others actually, whether it be bakers, florists, wedding singers, owners of bed and breakfasts, and the like, who have been faced with onerous lawsuits and fines by human rights commissions of the state and local levels because of their beliefs about traditional marriage. And so what the First Amendment Defense Act does is it reaffirms existing religious liberty protections that have existed for years in the majority of states and even at the national level. And it reinforces those specifically to protect people from reprisal for believing in the traditional value of marriage as the union of a man and a woman, and allows them to decline to lend their voice and lend their support to the solemnization of a wedding that goes against their deeply held convictions and beliefs on that point. So we think that this is good law. We think this is necessary law. Of course, on the other side, we hear complaints that this will lead to discrimination and the like. We think that those complaints are largely unfounded. We don't think that this will lead to any kind of widespread discrimination, again, because we've had religious liberty protections like this in place for really decades, and we haven't seen any kinds of rampant discrimination taking place. And we would also point out that, you know, this is sort of what happens when the court steps in and tries to impose law as if it were a legislature by creating this supposed right to same-sex marriage. Had we had a political process, a deliberative process to figure out what to do in this case, we could have provided religious exemptions. We could have debated those things and, you know, fashioned accommodations for same-sex couples, perhaps, that wouldn't have trampled on the beliefs of people that don't agree with them. But unfortunately, by going through the courts, none of those protections are in place, and we need to reinforce them with this legislation.
I mean, to try and get those out of the courts would require trying dozens and dozens of cases on dozens and dozens of various facets of this. It would be, well, practically impossible. So this law itself, what would it change for, say, the kind of that anecdotal baker who refuses to bake a wedding cake for a same-sex couple that are planning to, at this point, legally marry? How would it change that situation?
Well, it would change it in several ways. I mean, the specific level, it would state that a person who believes in traditional marriage cannot face discrimination by the government for holding to the belief that marriage is the union of a man and a woman. So that would be in terms of public accommodations laws and government, whether zoning or any of the means that a city or a municipality could use to potentially go after someone for trying to, you know, maintain that standard of business while conducting, you know, a business that gets involved in the wedding industry. So this would provide protection for them, which, of course, you know, we don't think this is a silver bullet, such as that the First Amendment Defense Act passes and no more lawsuits come. The First Amendment Defense Act itself will be tested in the courts once it is passed, but we believe that it stands a good chance of being upheld in the courts for two reasons. You know, obviously, the one thing is, in the First Amendment, we think of the freedom of worship, or rather freedom of religion, clause of the First Amendment that says that the government shall not infringe the right to the free exercise of religion. But we also think that free speech is implicated in these cases, because when you say to someone that they have to take the artistic act of creating a cake and lending their artistic talents to conveying this message, and this is what a lot of bakers, for example, or flower arrangement designers believe that they're doing when they create these works of art. They're expressing something. And so we think that under the First Amendment, you know, even just under the matter of free speech, they can't be forced or compelled to convey a message that they don't believe in. And so we think that, you know, that this kind of legislation stands a good chance of being upheld by the courts and protecting people in situations like that.
Let's talk a little bit about that free exercise versus freedom of worship. Would such a law also continue to allow the broad definition that we find in the Bill of Rights there? And it's never narrowed in any way by the framers. The free exercise of religion, rather than the narrowing that we're seeing to mere freedom of worship.
Absolutely, yeah. This reinforces kind of that classic understanding of what we mean by you know, freedom of religion in this country, that it isn't simply what somebody does walking to a church on Sunday, but that religion permeates our entire lives and the day-to-day existence of believers of whatever faith. And we think that, you know, again, this is good law because it reflects that kind of understanding that says you don't leave your religion at the door when you walk into work, that you're still a person of faith and you should be allowed to conduct yourself in your work life in accordance with your faith, provided that, you know, it doesn't go against compelling government interests that cannot be solved in some other way. And we don't think that that's the case here. So this isn't like, you know, the government has a compelling interest at hand in making people bake cakes and there's no one else to do it. As a matter of fact, in most of the cases where people have been taken to court over this, the couples that sued the wedding vendors very quickly after being turned away by those wedding vendors went and found somebody else. And, you know, one of the anecdotal things that you hear a lot kind of that we haven't heard a good answer from on the other side is, why would you want somebody making your cake who doesn't agree with you anyway? You know, when wedding vendors participate in the solemnization of a marriage, that's usually a deep relationship. They like to sit down with the couple. They like to get to know them. Sometimes they even become close friends. So we think it's in the best interest of everybody just to respect one another's beliefs on this, respect that there are differing opinions at the very least about what marriage is, just as we don't seek to necessarily impose that value on others. We believe that Christians and other people of faith should be left to abide by their own beliefs.
I wonder if there's also kind of in the background here, really what I think is remarkable inconsistency, namely, would LGBTQ advocates who want to force bakeries, photographers, florists to do business for same-sex marriages, would they also want to force those same businesses to offer their services to other things where there may be moral objections, like the KKK or a neo-Nazi event? Doesn't seem to be even distribution here.
We don't think so. And again, we think that this is really just part of the entire agenda. It's never been simply about marriage. It's never been simply about recognizing the rights of LGBT people. It's been about trying to impose acceptance and agreement on society. And that's why we've seen so quickly after same-sex marriage was imposed by the courts, we've seen it turn to now the next plank in the platform, which is transgender rights. Again, this is about gaining wider acceptance in society and trying to force people who adhere to religions that have things to say on marriage and sexuality to abandon those beliefs or really be ostracized. But we do see a remarkable hypocrisy when it turns the other way, whether it be a dressmaker who says that, you know, they're not going to make dresses for Melania Trump, or the NFL or the NBA or the NCAA saying to the state of North Carolina, because you won't allow men to use locker rooms and bathrooms with girls and women, we're going to boycott your state and not come in there. We see a remarkable amount of hypocrisy on the other side respecting these matters, and we think that it's time that we kind of, you know, pass this law and take the debate to the next step, to the next level.
Shortly after his election, Donald Trump stated on 60 Minutes that gay marriage is settled law. I think that's what he called it. The Supreme Court made up its mind. Are you confident that if Congress passes the First Amendment Defense Act, President Trump will sign it?
Well, on that, I would simply refer to President-elect Trump's own words that he issued in a press release on September 22nd of this year. The press release was entitled, I believe, Issues of Concern to Catholics, and it included issues of religious liberty, pro-life concerns, and others. But really, they're not just of concern to Catholic voters. They're of concern to a great many people in this country. And in that press release, he said that if Congress passes the First Amendment Defense Act, he will sign it into law. And we're going to hold him to that promise that he made. I guess the good news for us is that, you know, when he says that he thinks gay marriage is settled law, in the same interview with 60 Minutes, he turns around and says he'd like to appoint justices who can overturn Roe versus Wade. And so we don't really understand how something that has been a court-imposed status quo for generations, like Roe versus Wade, state-sanctioned abortion, how that can be ameliorated by a future Supreme Court by that logic, but somehow something that has only been court-imposed status quo law, like same-sex marriage, can't be overturned by a future Supreme Court. We like to hope that he was just speaking off the cuff there, and frankly, at the end of the day, any justice that would overturn Roe that he's going to appoint to the court is also going to be a justice of the kind of mind that would overturn Obergefell.
Two final questions for you, Joe. How do you respond to those who say, look, the Religious Freedom Bill is in fact just kind of a very clever way of, they would say, legalizing anti-gay discrimination?
I would point out that, again, in the cases that we've actually seen tested through the courts so far where people have had their businesses ruined and their livelihoods threatened by these lawsuits, in a lot of cases, the most famous being Arnell Stutzman, the florist who was sued, she had worked with the couple before, the same couple, for different events. She had provided service to them knowing that they were gay. It wasn't about the fact that they were homosexual. She wasn't discriminating against them on the basis of their sexual orientation. It was when it came to participating in their marriage, which is really what is asked of a vendor when these specific services are sought, that's where she drew the line. And we would just ask the other side to point out the evidence that this will be used for some kind of widespread discriminatory cause. We haven't seen that take place. We've seen people who said they would be happy to refer to another vendor. They would be happy to provide cakes for birthdays and cakes for bar mitzvahs and cakes for, you know, any other kind of occasion. They draw the line at participating in a wedding, which they see as affirming a belief about marriage that they don't hold to be true.
If Finally, then, what is the biggest hurdle or hurdles that the First Amendment Defense Act faces right now?
Well, I think the biggest hurdle that it faces is cutting through the media bias and letting people understand what this law does and what this law doesn't do, in order that we don't have this wave of pressure based in ignorance against members of the House and members of the Senate. We are optimistic about the passage of the law because of the makeup of the current Congress. However, we know that there's going to be a lot of noise about it. And we hope that people aren't misled by a media narrative that takes this law for something that it is not meant to be, which is, again, this blanket allowance for some kind of discrimination. It is not that at all. And unfortunately, we've seen that happen just a few years ago, for example, as with the RFRA, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act in Indiana. The media spun myths and lies about what the law would do, and, you know, we saw it falter. And so we hope that we can help inform people and get the right story out there about what the First Amendment Defense Act actually would do, so that congressmen can hear from their constituents that this is a law that we need passed.
Joe Grabowski is Director of Communications for the National Organization for Marriage, based in Washington, D.C. You'll find a link to the National Organization for Marriage at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Joe, thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to talk about a new report on abortion clinic conditions, a pretty harrowing report indeed, with Christy Hamrick of Americans United for Life, right after this.
Metro East Lutheran High School of Edwardsville, Illinois presents Journey to the Manger, an interactive Christmas experience.
Bring your family and friends to experience a wonderful reenactment of the Christmas story.
There will be live music and a cookie sale.
Journey to the Manger is from 5 to 8 p.m. on December 23rd. Allow yourself at least 30 minutes to make your way through the entire Christmas story.
Free will donations of $25 or more will receive a free handcrafted gift.
Come to Journey to the Manger for an evening of fun, fellowship,
and the celebration of the true reason for the season.
For any questions, call 618-656-0043. Merry Christmas!
Emily finally had to face the truth. Her church choir was a mess.
Katie Schuerman from her new audiobook, House of Living Stones.
Sure, they'd managed to turn out a few decent choral offerings for Sunday worship every now and then, but their confidence and morale were presently hanging lower than pants on a wrapper.
You can purchase and download an audio version of the novel House of Living Stones at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. House of Living Stones by Katie Schuerman.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.